Okay, you're recording. I'll keep an eye on it.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the meeting of the Fire and Emergency Services Committee. It's Tuesday, September 5th, 2023, and we are starting at 5:32 p.m. We will call this meeting to order. General Manager, will you please take roll call?
Director Easton?
Here.
Director Wilson?
Here.
Public testimony will be received on each agenda item as it is called. Principal party on each side of an issue are allocated 10 minutes to speak. Individual comments are limited to 3 minutes except with the consent of the committee. Individuals shall be allowed to speak on any item only once. Members of the audience are asked to volunteer their name before addressing the committee. And the committee reserves the right to waive said rules by a majority vote. We move now to the adoption of tonight's agenda. Do we have any questions, comments, additions, or motions?
Do not.
Anything from the public? All right, seeing none, do we have a motion?
I move we adopt the agenda.
I will second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Agenda is adopted. Now we move to the approval of the conformed agenda from our meeting on Tuesday, August 8th. Was there anything in the agenda you
wanted? It was just like I remembered it.
Good. All right, unless there's any comments from the public, I'll move to the approval of the conformed agenda. Do I have a second? All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Move now to open forum, where members of the public may speak on any item not on the agenda that falls within the responsibilities of this committee. So we open now to the public for anybody who wishes to speak on an item not on the agenda.
Hi, Barbara Rogers. Even though I know that you guys weren't part of what happened to me at the last board meeting, I do want to address the fact that I got shut down before my time was up. And I was flabbergasted. This never happened to me before, ever. So I just want to reiterate to all of you and the people sitting in this room, I know people get sick of hearing me, but I have been doing this for 20 years, and I started doing this because of our public safety and unique situation with CAL FIRE. I will continue to come to these meetings, and I will continue to speak up. And I know that some of you may not want to hear it, but there are people that do want to hear it, and I mean people in the audience. So I, you know, I'm not going to apologize for how I acted. I was upset, don't get me wrong, but, and Jill kindly called me the next day, which I greatly appreciated and did not put any blame on her. But the other two board members that didn't want to allow me to continue to speak, I will address them in an open forum on the record. You cannot treat the public like this. We have the right to speak to whatever we wish to speak to. And I get the impression that certain members of the board don't want to hear me, and that's fine. I'll deal with them. I'm not at all directing this to any of you up there. But I just want to go on the record that I'm not going to tolerate being treated like that. I don't think I deserve it. And we all need to be respectful to each other on both sides of the dais. And believe me, years ago, it was pretty raucous here way before Jill was here. I mean, it was witty, and it was broadcast. And it's not like that anymore, which I truly appreciate. But I have feelings. And so I left that night because I was totally embarrassed. When I turned around, I looked at the fire chiefs, that many of them I consider my friends. I just had to leave. So I just want you all to know that, that not only for me, for future people, the board needs to be respectful. So that's all I wanted to say, and I appreciate your time.
Do you have any other members of the public who wish to speak? Let's see, I think.
Oh, go ahead. Okay. Just wanted to say, Paul Gilchrist, just wanted to put a thank you out to CAL FIRE. I called in a first time ever having to call a 911 emergency, and there was a fire up on Keontae across the street from my neighborhood. Happened to see it, and within minutes, you guys were there. Thank you for doing a good job and helping out.
Love to hear those reports.
Yes.
Not that it happens, but if it's dangerous.
Yes.
And yes.
Brad McMullen. Just wanted to ask, in the notes or the agenda, I didn't see anything discussing the Triton data dump progress or the date of the first meeting. And I'm curious as to where we are in the 6 to 8 week period of data dumping, and if we've succeeded, if we, where are we at? Do we have enough overtime or time on the books to make that happen so that we're not delaying that request from Triton.
We can address that during staff updates if you'd like.
Were there any other comments or questions there for you?
That was it. Thanks.
Okay. And I can briefly, we'll address more details on that. It's worth saying that is not within the scope of this committee. That is within the scope of the ad hoc committee that deals with it. And we have to be careful bringing those subject matters between committees, because then it's a majority of the board that's dealing with it, and that can only happen in a general board meeting. So, general manager can give you some updates on the progress of that, but we don't agendize it here for that reason.
Okay.
All right. Any other comments or input from the public in open forum? All right, so with that, we will close open forum. We move now to department matters. Our first item is to review and provide feedback on the CSG consultant's proposal for fire prevention services. And at this point, we'll hand it to the general manager and to Chief Richards.
Callan and Dusty, you want me to kick this off and then you guys provide stuff? So, a few weeks back, Callan and I met with, I always get the acronym wrong, CSG Consulting, who is a consulting group that provides fire marshal services to a number of local agencies, cities, special districts, and things like that. We had a conversation with them about what it might look like if the district initiated a contract, an agreement with them to provide fire prevention services under the general manager's signing authority, which is less than $25,000. Our idea that we kind of knocked around the table would be for Cameron Park, general manager in the fire department, to kind of try out you know, what it would look like to have a consultant provide fire prevention services in lieu of a fire marshal. Fire marshal would oversee the contract and kind of assign tasks, but it would be, those activities would be performed by the consultant. The advantages of doing it this way would be that, you know, I think that there's some staffing shortages at the fire stations. There is in year two of our agreement with Cal Fire that we would reduce one battalion chief. There's an opportunity to maybe do that sooner rather than year two for some potential cost savings. We're not quite sure, but it would be a way for us to try this out. And then if it worked or parts of it worked and other parts of this agreement did not work, then we would have more information and we could choose to move to a longer term contract. We could go out with a request for a proposal, our scope of services would be more defined and things like that. We would use this kind of as a menu of services. It would be a time and materials agreement so that we would call up and say, we need you to do this activity by this date, and then they would complete it and then bill us. There are details that we need to work out as far as their invoices to us, collecting fees and how that would come through and things like that. So there are some more details. This is not an agreement that would elevate to the board of directors. It would be done under the general manager's signing authority. Also, for consulting agreements, there's not necessarily a requirement for bidding. And I think that CSG was referred to us by our current contractor, InterWest. And again, we think this would be quick and easy way for us to determine whether or not this would be a good path forward for us for a longer term agreement. It would include fire prevention activities done typically under the fire marshal. It could also include enforcement of our abatement ordinance. So, that you guys want to add anything?
Yeah, I mean, I think you pretty much covered it. This consulting firm is similar to who we currently uses InterWest Consulting. However, InterWest doesn't have the bandwidth and the scope to be able to come up and staff and be able to perform those inspections. when I've been out sick or on vacation, InterWest has sometimes been able to come fill in with an inspection that then the fees are transferred over to the business owner. However, I think CSG has a lot more staffing and abilities to have more of a
bigger resources.
Yeah, bigger resources. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't really have anything else. I mean, mm-hmm. just anything. I can answer any questions if you guys had.
Have any questions?
Gosh. I guess mostly concerned with whether what they're proposing is within our guidelines. Like, so for example, on page 6, they've got these plan check turnaround times, and is that sort of what we're already doing?
Yeah, so there are plan check turnaround times. We have guidelines on how long we can hold a project depending on what the occupancy and what the entitlements are. Theirs are well underneath those requirements. We have that currently, and that's just dependent on how many projects we get. Currently for residential, minor TIs, minor sprinkler, minor alarm, I'll do those in-house myself. But with having just the one battalion chief now, I won't have the abilities to do those reviews, so this would get third-party review through this company.
And then this is probably nitpicky, but on page 8, they're talking about the city a lot. And is that actually referring to Cameron Park, or is that referring to the county?
Yeah, so this is a boilerplate proposal of what they can provide.
Okay.
And we can tailor it to what we need, right?
Okay.
So
right.
These are all the services and what they cost. We could kind of cafeteria plan, if you will,
right.
Say, hey, we need you to do business inspections, acceptance tests, new construction plan review, and permit tech intake and plan correspondence. Like, that's it. Or a hybrid of both.
So they haven't completely tailored this to us?
No.
Okay.
They probably, their search key for city or county or
city.
Okay. Probably didn't catch everything.
Yeah. Okay. And then there's a fee schedule on page 20. Three, which what did I want to ask here? I guess the question is with the fees that we charge for the wrong word coming out of my mouth. I blame it on age or lack of sleep. I'm not sure which. But yeah, so the fees that we charge for inspections, and you said some of this wasn't firm, but like, do we anticipate that would cover these rates?
So a really good question. So we charge $165 an hour for in-house inspections. That is fire department personnel perform the inspection, and that's based on the Nexus study and fee schedule that the board approved. These fees are actually lower. However, we would add administrative costs to this fee for processing and oversight, and those fees would then get transferred to the applicant. So we wouldn't see it.
Okay.
We would not have, if I went and did an inspection versus they did an inspection, there would be more cost revenue recovery for if I did it, but I don't have it, I can't do it, right? And so this would all get passed on to the applicant or the business.
They asked to review our fees, so they took a look at our fees. Also, our district has a process that we review fees every fall for implementation in January of the new year. So, you know, this is a time that we would be reviewing fire marshal fees anyway, same as the community center and, you know, with those other facility use fees and service fees that we have. So if we need to increase those or update those, we have an ability to do so.
Those were my questions.
Thank you. You answered some of my questions too. I recognize that we charge $165 an hour. Are there other costs not captured in what we do now that besides the administrative costs that we would need to account for?
Not that I'm aware of, but.
Okay. But there would be an admin fee. Recognize you would still be overseeing the lists, the assignments, the properties, and they would simply be doing the inspection. Is that correct?
Well, and that's kind of where this trial is. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of the time I'm doing permit tech jobs. So if they come in and say, hey, I need to build something, what do I need to do? Mm-hmm. And to explain them, okay, you fill out this form, you submit it here, you pay this amount, okay, you send it to me, then I schedule either an inspection or a complaint review. So I'm doing a lot of administrative scheduling. They have some permit tech services, and that's where that workflow is. So some things private industry cannot have access to our permitting system at the county, can't have access to our financial processing at the CSD. And so that's where we're going to have to figure out kind of that workflow, what they can and cannot do. But a lot of it is just processing paperwork and you know, overall review, like larger projects. I still have to attend county meetings for planning and making comments on projects that are going to impact our district. But they would potentially have the ability to maybe have some of that plan intake abilities of they can take up, you know, in the project and determine what it needs, and then they can do some of that correspondence and then pass those fees on to the applicant that I normally would have for those consultations, et cetera.
So it's sounding to me like there's still some office admin role in this.
Mm-hmm. If they have the capacity to come in and hammer out a ton of inspections, that's going to increase the volume of that too, right?
Right.
So that maybe I was doing, you know, 10 a month and it took me, what, you know, say 2 hours of administrative, which just hypothetically, well, if they're doing 40, then that two is going to be 8.
Right.
Right. So,
which leads me to the question, in the package of this, do we need to be considering just a simple office admin assist that would do that low-level intake, because there's some of that that doesn't require you, but you would have
for sure. The fire prevention specialist was doing a lot of that, and so that's where, and Chief Martin and I have had some discussions, is kind of how does this look? And so what we came up with is, let's go with this and see what the workflow is, and if I'm doing 4 to 5 hours of secretarial administrative work every day, then something is going to need to
be edited. We need to talk about it, yeah, because we did recognize that we may need to do that.
Yeah, and we're
billing and things like that, where it's
right, and that's part of my concern is that increases and takes away from your more vital.
Well, we do have, you know, we have an obligation to perform the state regulated inspections.
Right.
We have to do those every year. We have about between 80 and 100, depending if we have there's some optionals, but that has to get done. So, you know, having I think good communication with CSG is, hey, don't come in like, you know, full fledged and to do 60 in a month and bring a whole team of people. And kind of amortizing that, if you will, over the year, so we can kind of schedule that so it's more of a...
So the fire department has budgeted a fire prevention specialist and also a part-time seasonal person. So there is part-time salaries there. We have funds also budgeted for InterWest, but probably not to the magnitude that we're using this consulting firm. So this is how I see this playing out over the next, you know, 2 months or 3 months until we reach that $25,000 threshold, is to figure out what our workflow looks like. I think that's perfect, you know, figure out the details of payments and assigning work and how we can get, you know, this workflow an efficient process, what functions this consultant is doing that is working for us, and then probably about December, maybe mid-year budget time frame, come back, and if we need a budget adjustment, we'll do that at mid-year to say, hey, we're this worked, we would like to have the budget adjusted for this amount of money for fire prevention services, and then these are the fees that are going to offset those services, because it's a fee-based program. So we can get through this time period. If we need to hire somebody, we have budget authority to do that, to help clerk at the fire department, and then we'll come back at mid-year if we need any budget adjustments.
And we're really not going to see how this bounces out versus a position until we
I mean, we've been running vacant since July, so we're at 3-4 months in with no fire prevention specialist, so that salary is being saved. However, we are reducing the amount of inspections we've been doing because the staffing.
And the reminder being, we paused floating that position
Yes.
Because of our discussion around this.
Yeah.
So we don't, there's no report on what interest or applicant pool there was before that.
There's two applicants that we have.
Two.
Yeah, as a, I say running list, but a pending group of applicants of two people.
And we let them know that we were pausing on filling that position right now. We can certainly go back to them if they're interested in clerking, and once we figure out exactly, you know, meet back with the consultants and kind of figure out the details.
And so then, just to clarify, too, part of this is figure out the billing on how this...
Right. Accounts payable, receivable has to be figured out.
How, and maybe this won't happen at this stage, but how would you see them being included in the weed abatement enforcement?
You know, that's a good question. I think they could perform inspections.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what they're going to do is kind of operate on behalf of us. So we have specific ordinances, specific standards, and then they have training and a background in fire prevention to where they can apply those standards and kind of see, okay, what does this jurisdiction require? So they're going to have to know our documents. And they can go out and perform those inspections.
Yeah, and provide a report back. I mean, they can do...
When
we talked to George, I mean, he said that we can do what your fire prevention specialist did.
So those are not... There's no fee... There's no cost recovery in any of that.
Yes.
So that's where... That's going to be a cost.
Right.
But if you don't have a fire prevention specialist, part-time defensible space inspector, that's all going to be kind of... I mean, they'll do anything we ask them to for a cost, right? And so the key is that cost going to be able to be recovered or not?
With what we budgeted and hiring somebody if that comes in over that.
But I'm looking at an inspection, you know, $135 an hour versus a fire prevention specialist was $21 an hour doing inspections.
Yeah.
So you're about six times the amount per hour for doing those.
And that's one of the things I want to, and I know we will be watching this, is I want to make sure that the cost of the community doesn't accelerate in this. I mean, we need to do it, and if staffing's hard, but... I want to make sure we're not putting more of a burden on the community.
So I think it needs to be said is that with the current contract that we're in, July 1 of losing the battalion chief. So what that did is in our system, our battalion chiefs, and we look at displacement, it's done off of seniority. So Clint Siebert was going to be displaced. A job has opened up in Placer County that's 5 minutes from his house. So Clint has put in a transfer. Clint's transfer was accepted, and he started there this week. So now we took a two battalion chief model, a fire marshal and a battalion chief running the operation, down to one person, Callan, having to manage both.
Right.
So the CSG for me is extremely important to be able to take some of that workload off of Callan while we're in this transitional period time, at least start picking up some of those inspections, because we have to be able to manage both. And what falls off of his plate falls onto my plate, and my plate is extremely full with all of my programs. So for me, it's really picking up his workload doubled, and so how do we start taking some of those things off his plate? A portion of that's going to be shifted to the guys on the engines. Are going to be picking up some of the workload and some of these other things. You know, we talked about AP Triton. That's a huge other workload that you're looking at. These two guys filling out all the data. So all these things start mounting up, and this is an opportunity for us to give it a trial period to see how it works, and as we move forward, how does that play for the district for the next 2 years until we really see where we land and where we're going. But it allows those inspections and some of those things to keep marching. Yeah, there's a workload. We're going to have to figure out the billing piece, and they're going to submit us a bill, then we're going to have to turn around and create the bill. And I'll be frank with you, we're about 15 years behind the times where we're still doing paper billing. We're still doing paper inspections. We haven't embraced the technology side of this house that really gives those efficiencies. But we're not at a point right now to where we can really employ a lot of those things. And so what CSG does is they do bring some of that with them, and
and can build some of those efficiencies in. But yeah, we're still going to have to figure out that billing piece and how does it transfer from them to us, us to the applicant or the business owner. That's part of what I think the trial period is for, is to see how that works. How do the puzzle pieces kind of fit together in a couple month time period, and then be able to come back to the board and say, hey, this worked or this didn't work, mm-hmm. and this is where we need to go, and here it is. It gives us that time to figure out if we need to adjust fees or not, and how that works.
Well, I appreciate you highlighting the point of the load that currently exists on staff and how shifted that Clint has shifted and what that does to you. That's helpful for us to know. And hopefully my comment wasn't misunderstood. I wasn't making the comment or asking the question to not acknowledge that. It was simply more of this hiring versus a staffing position, wanting to make sure that in the end the community is both getting what they need and our staff isn't overburdened, but also we're not passing too much cost. That was it.
Yeah, no, totally understand. And I think one of the things that we have to recognize is we do have the authority to hire fire prevention specialists.
Yes, we do.
But at our current pay scale, we're not getting a fire prevention specialist that's fully trained and can come into work tomorrow to take that workload. So that workload still resides while we get through that training time, get them up to speed, get them into classes, and get them to really start doing some of that work. And that was part of our discussions with Jill and Cal and I, of maybe that position morphs a little bit and becomes more of a permit tech or some of these things, to where that training time isn't as big to get out and go do inspections and that. And we hire someone, that means he's got to go do inspections with them until they start getting comfortable and,
right.
and that. And so does it really provide us the juice with the squeeze right now? I would say I'm pretty confident of holding off to kind of see what CSG can provide. And then at that point, we can make a decision on what job duties we want the fire prevention specialist. I don't think we're going to get away with not hiring the fire prevention specialist in some capacity. Maybe a part-time to deal with some of the billing and some of these other issues. And I think the group of us felt that the trial period kind of gives us that opportunity to sort some of that out. Is it going to be a workload up front? Absolutely. But we're talking a short period of workload versus the long term. And then we can actually have some true data and understanding of what is needed versus right now a bunch of hypothetical.
So one of my asks in this would be, we recognize the general manager's spending authority, is that once we are two-thirds of the way through that is when we come back,
okay.
right? And do you have any kind of anticipated time frame of that?
When we talked to George, it was 2 to 3 months. I think we really wanted to get this. We haven't started yet, but I'm thinking that it would be good to have this trial period kind of finish at the end of the year.
Yeah, and I think, we could potentially get hit with projects, ton of new development or something, TIs or it surges sometimes. I'll get hit with 4 or 5 projects in 2 days and then nothing for 2-3 weeks, so
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That and it depends on the complexity, right? Is it fire alarms, sprinklers, what are they doing?
Yeah.
And so I think we can kind of gauge a rough kind of window of that and then schedule our inspections in an amount that will be kind of consistent. Some of the issue is a lot of these inspections lead to more inspections. We've had 6 repeats on inspections on some of these places that are either refusing to be compliant. Then that's another issue, is now we have a code enforcement issue, right, where they just say, well, we're not doing it. It's like, okay, now there needs to be a lot more engagement on my behalf, because a contractor can't do any code enforcement, right?
But it's possible for you to pace that. Because if we're talking about a mid-year budget adjustment, that's not going to come to us until January.
January,
yeah. So that means we're then almost 4 months into the process, which would go past the spending authority. I just want to make sure there's not a huge gap. Well, January's a little slower. December's a little slower, correct, around holidays?
For what?
For inspections and such.
I mean the holidays specifically, yeah. Yes. But
right.
Well,
just trying to imagine that timeline.
And we're going to butt up on my spending authority. So it depends on how fast we can get through this. So I think that if we spend it in the next, you know, 12 weeks, yeah, we're going to be back here in 2 months. Because
that's going to be a lot of billing, a lot of schedule. Yeah.
So, but, you know, we'll keep you posted, and then whatever we choose to do as far as a longer-term contract is going to have to come through this committee anyway.
Okay. And Eric, we can put it on an item as a report out for Fire and Emergency Services of where we're at, what's the status, what we're doing, and how long they've started, and what they've been.
Yeah. That's all my questions for the moment. Do you have any more before we go to public? All right, I'll open up for public comment on this item. Any member of the public want to speak or ask questions?
I'm not really sure, but are the occupancies in a current database that CSG would have access to?
I have a spreadsheet of all the regulated occupancies. And then all the non-regulated occupancies are, they contact us to solicit an inspection because it's triggered by a business inspection or something that they need signed up.
Right.
The only ones that we are required to do would be the ones that are state regulated, which we have just a running list. Here's the names, contact information, date last inspected, so on and so forth. Yeah, Microsoft Excel.
That's been around a long time.
All right, any other public comments or questions on this item? Hearing them, we'll close public comment and bring it back to the board. This is a review and provide comment item. So do you have any other comments or anything you'd like to know or hear in this?
As an IT person, the spreadsheet thing makes me kind of shudder, but other than that, you know, I work for a company where a lot of the business units have kind of gone around IT and done spreadsheets and access, you know, because we couldn't be responsive and get things done for them, and it's like the company's coming back and fixing that. So it's spreadsheets are just a little scary, that's all.
So one of the things that we have talked about is our software system Comcate that is used by the CCNR office. So that software system, if we need something and that one can provide what we need, that would be an avenue that we could pursue. So that was discussed. The Comcate system is designed for code enforcement.
Well, just reading through the proposal, it's clear they've got the credentials, the bona fides for that. So I'm appreciative of what they're bringing to it. And thank you to staff for taking the initiative and going after this to help fill the hole and solve the problem, at least temporarily, if not longer term. So I think the only thing, and we've talked about this, is just to add an agenda item, because we need a longer agenda, is to just a simple report back. Just here's where we're at, here's what we're going. And as we move through the general manager's spending authority, to track that. Anything else? Okay. So with that, we'll move on from department matters number one. We'll move now to staff reports. Second one is ambulance service update and status from JPA in securing another provider. Chief Martin.
Yeah, so that you'll find that at the tail end of the fire department report. So the RFP has gone out to all agencies in El Dorado County with the closing date of September 30th. The committee has been established of outside personnel to review the RFPs and then provide the data back to the JPA Board of Directors. The JPA Board of Directors is set to review the RFPs and review the proposals on October 11th. And then in the initial RFP, the submitting agency needed to take over services by November 15th. So we're in that process of the submittals, me coming into the JPA executive director. And then I think October 5th, don't quote me on the date, but somewhere right around there, each agency will be able to meet with the committee separately and go over their proposal. And then that report will go to the JPA and on the board on the 11th. Still with the same target data,
great.
120 day notice.
Great. Any questions? I was curious what the status of staffing at JPA, because our previous head there has gone elsewhere, correct?
So the executive director is still there. A new executive director has been hired, so they're in that transitional period currently. Just recently, a new executive director has been hired, so they're starting their transitional period. Part of the contract with the executive director is a 90-day notice to allow us to fill and have some of that transition period. So,
okay, so
we our gentleman's just starting getting his feet on the ground, and we'll see him soon.
Great.
Any questions? Open up for public comment or questions on this? All right, seeing none, hearing none, close public comment, we'll bring it back. This is just an update status, so no decisions or any actions on it. Thank you.
Yep.
For the information. Appreciate that. All right. Second item is CAL FIRE staffing vacancies and overtime. And just as a clarification on this is something I asked for from Chief Martin. Just in everything that we're working with, we want to understand what our staff is having to deal with and do to manage positions, knowing hiring is hard and covering shifts is hard. So it's good for at least this committee to understand what our staff is working with and having to deal with. So.
Yeah, so for staffing shortages, currently now we have 5 open positions per the contract with 1 battalion chief and 4 engineers. We do have another engineer that has a transfer to the Madera Mariposa unit, and that is moving along. And so we'll be down to 12 engineers and captains. Here fairly shortly, and then 1 battalion chief for a total of 13. As we look at overtime days, we went back and we compared, that's at the bottom of the fire report as well, looking between last year and this year. This year we're actually a little bit under of where we were last year, but our fire activity is significantly different. We had a bunch of vacant positions and folks going through the CAL FIRE Training Center at this time, but you can see for the month of August we have 40 overtime days. In September we're looking at 36 days planned right now. That doesn't bar any additional sick leave or incident activity or that. That's just filling vacant holes. So yeah, we're a little lower than we were compared to the last couple of years, but for September, 36 days for a 2-station fire department, a lot of days of overtime for folks to pick up. And internally, we kind of set, kind of the breaking point for the troops would be about 54 days, as they're all committed to continuing to staff Medic 89 with the short personnel. 54 days would give 4 days of required forced overtime per employee in the district. So that would be not voluntary. It's always offered up voluntary, and then if nobody takes it, then we have a list that we go through and we start walking down the list and forcing people on duty. So that's what the guys and the troops came up with, was 54 is what they felt would be kind of their breaking point. So we're underneath that so far, which is good. But you know, 1 injury or something like that changes those numbers real quick. So we're holding, and then depending on when the transfer goes through and some of those other things, that we could drop a person, and that's 12 days right there off top of that.
Okay. Any questions? Open up to public, any questions, comments? Okay, bring it back. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. Just want to know what's happening. All right, then to our department report for July.
This is my first one.
There you go.
It's counting.
Bring it.
So just going to go through incident totals by call type. No vegetation fires. We had 3 structure fires between July 28th and August 28th. So this is never really like a true month. It's kind of when the reports are due, so you get that kind of latter end of the previous month. Vehicle fires and miscellaneous fires, a total of 14, 7 vehicle accidents, 151 medicals, 2 hazardous conditions, and public assist, other service calls, 56. Looking at the monthly totals, so from the July 28th to August 28th, 229 last month, and then 233 this month. So that's a 1.7% increase. And then August of 22 and then August of 23, so last year's same time period, we decreased 16.3%, so about 30 some odd calls. And then year to date,
We are down 13.4% from last year. Go to the next page. So response statistics for the 8 medic units. So before it was weekly, and then the JPA is now posting quarterly reports. So the last one that was posted gives up to July, and this is the same information. So your total responses, the incident response by medic unit, the total by medic unit for medical response, and then the total transport by medic unit. So it's the same information, just put in a monthly format instead of that weekly format. And you can see the medic 49 coming back online like mid-March, picking up half that month. And
right. Yeah, everybody's numbers go down.
Mm-hmm. Moving on to Battalion 5 maintenance per apparatus. This is just a running list of where we're at for fiscal year 23-24 per vehicle, and then a total at the bottom. So totaling $6,200 a year here to date for maintenance for per apparatus in the battalion, and then yeah, my truck, engine 288, engine 88, engine 89, and some miscellaneous. And the miscellaneous is going to be parts that we need to keep, you know, at the station that aren't specifically tasked to a piece of apparatus. So like wiper blades or batteries or just things that are kind of have the, you know, on hand, if you will, for vehicle stuff. And then also maintenance. Rental income for 23-24, so engine 388 and then the utilities are the only thing that has brought in revenue, with a total of $10,612 for this fiscal year. So as you know, it's been, I'm going to jinx it, big mild fire season.
That's right.
Anything happen over the weekend with the very strange and welcome September rain?
No fires.
That was nice. It's the other stuff we worry about.
Yeah,
so we don't know how to drive.
It felt like it rained over. They rained on people over the weekend.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, I got hailed on.
Yeah.
So moving on to the report for, so anytime we have like this between me submitting the report and then the committee meeting, we have like a, you know, what is that, a week or so, and we've had incidents within those. So this Los Santos structure fire, the Oak Leaf structure fire, those are two things that happened in between the last committee report submission and the meeting. And so I know we talked about it, I think, verbally at the meeting last time.
Yeah.
This is just the kind of the details and the rundown narrative, if you will. I won't read through it other than we've had two structure fires, one on August 8th, one on August 4th, so 3 days apart. The first one was the one we visited with the house with major involvement in fire, and then another house that was exposed to the main fire that caught on fire. So we got there was two house fires. Luckily, having first engine, hey, you go to this fire, second engine, to the next fire. So that fire was contained within 30 minutes and controlled within 3 hours. And then the Oak Leaf structure fire was called in very early. It was a room and contents fire that started in a bedroom and started to get into the attic, but engine 88 was able to get there real quick, pull the line, got water on it within a couple minutes, and it was out. So before, they didn't require any of the other engines because they got there so fast, they were able to just get it out quickly, which is kind of rare sometimes. So. And it's a win, so that's good. And then 2 days ago, so another in-betweener, we had a fire in an apartment where there was some, in a kitchen. So a stove caught some items in the kitchen on fire again. Got there very early. It was reported very early by some of the tenants that were there. It was put out really quick with the first arriving engine 89. And what I kind of really thought was special about this fire is it was on a road where we had have a lot of access issues. So on Knollwood Court, at the end of Knollwood Court was a cul-de-sac that the apartment complex decided to put parking stalls in perpendicular to the curb. So that fire apparatus turnaround was then just a bunch of cars parked perpendicular to the curb. So it took a 90 foot circumference down to like 40, and we would always have issues getting in there and trying to park. So we ended up putting a fire lane in. So that entire bulb of that turnaround was a fire lane, and there's a hydrant there. So I got to see the second engine come down the street, make a nice wide turn in the cul-de-sac and back right up to the fire hydrant, had the hose out on the fire hydrant, and they were waiting to put the supply line in place. They didn't actually have to use it, but if it did have to be deployed, it was seamless. Otherwise, it would have been blocked with cars. It would have been just a nightmare them turning around. So that was the prevention piece that I really thought was fun.
And the people that were fighting me on it were there to witness it too.
Yep. Oh. Actually, I was like, now I get
before
it.
I even had to say anything, he's like, you're right. I threw his hands up and said, you're right. Yep. Good. Fire karma.
We've had a few of those this summer.
Yeah. So moving on to the prevention.
Real quick before you go to prevention. Oh, yeah. I think one of the other notes, just for your awareness, we have had a lack of large-scale wildland fires this year. Mm-hmm. However, our personnel have been quite busy in other areas, in non-wildland scenarios. And so we had myself and a couple of folks from Cameron Park, the district, went down to Riverside, spent 19 days down there. We had two of our CAL FIRE members perish in a helicopter accident. So we spent 19 days down there planning two funeral services. Had about 3,000 personnel in attendance of each of those, just over that. So we did have some folks committed for some time down there. Nate Barclay has been committed for 22 days, I think, at this point, to Maui. We sent one of our CAL FIRE Incident Management teams, Team 1, to Maui to support Maui County and prop up the EOC and prop up county government and help them through all kinds of different processes and that. So we've had Nate's been out there for some time, and so our folks have been busy, just non-wildland and really involved in some kind of abstract type of things as we look at that. And so I think Nate's set to come back with the team the 13th of September. So it'll be 30 some odd days out there in Maui supporting them. And so you're really starting to see some of that outreach. We have one of my other partners, assistant chief here in the unit, who's in British Columbia right now. So we've been sending CAL FIRE folks up to British Columbia for the last 2 months to support them with fire behavior analysis and some of the tools that we use on a regular basis for wildfire projections and tracking of resources and that. We've been out there teaching them how to use it, and then also providing that fire behavior analyst piece and giving them projections of what the fire's gonna do and how that's gonna do, working out of their main two different main fire centers within British Columbia. So our folks have definitely been out and doing some kind of some abstract things that we haven't seen in the years past.
Some of that in response to the fires in the eastern provinces?
Yes.
Yeah. And in the Maui case, is that more just fire service support, or is that involve forensics as well, or?
So for our team, it was through the EMAC agreement. So governor to governor reached out and asked for one of our CAL FIRE teams to go out and be able to support Maui through the Lahaina disaster. And so when they first went out there, they didn't really have a clear idea of what they were gonna do. And a lot of it is getting their emergency operations center to be able to stand up and operate on their own for the long term, and teach them some of our processes that unfortunately we have down extremely well with post-fire repopulation, what needs to happen to get the public back into the area and the homeowners into there, and a big piece of that, the long-term recovery plan, and what does that look like, and how do you build a long-term recovery plan, and kind of taking some of the expertise that we've had over the years, standing up their public information office and being able to get messaging out to the communities and providing them with some of that public information support. And so the team has been quite busy every single day there. It's not been, I think they went 67 members on the team strong out to Maui, and every single one has been active and busy every day. And they even got to run a new fire with them while they were there. So that was pretty interesting.
Thank you. That's a helpful. All right, so unless there's anything else on the department report, let's move on to fire prevention updates. That's our last piece.
Okay. So inspection hours, 12 total violations, 18 corrected violations, 13. A little bit heavier on the inspection hours to violations ratio. Most of the inspection hours are acceptance tests, new construction, stuff like that. The only thing I have to report out is the CSG thing, which I think we completely covered, but I had that before the agenda was posted, so it's kind of duplication there.
So just a footnote question in the midst of everything else. One of the things we're investigating in the annexation discussion is we have a fire district and then we have limited service district areas within the full CSD. Where does it land for fire marshal inspection?
All
in
services.
The fire district boundary. Just in the fire district. Just in the fire district boundary.
Yes.
Not in the limited service.
Yes. Those limited service areas are in another fire district that takes care of those.
Correct. But I wasn't sure. I just wanted to make sure I understood.
And a lot of the times it's a fire marshal to fire marshal get a call, hey, this one's for you. Oh, yep, hey, this one's for you.
Okay.
Because the zip code's in the run.
Okay. Because I recognize that that is a district responsibility for the CSD, correct? Not just, and that's what I wanted to just tease out. Is that a fire district responsibility? Mm-hmm. Or is that a CSD responsibility?
It's a it is.
And if we don't have an answer today, that's okay.
No,
but
I can answer it. We're treading upon another ad hoc committee's work.
Yes.
So what I can say, just to stay with the facts, is that our fire service district boundaries are different than our boundaries where we would provide parks, recreation, lighting and landscape district, CCNR enforcement, waste management, and every other thing that we do. So.
Okay. There we go. Any questions from the public on the fire prevention report? Okay. So with that, we move now to items for future committee agendas.
Do you want me to speak about AP Triton status?
That would be spectacular.
So we had a kickoff meeting on August 10th, about 3 weeks ago, with the two fire agencies that are three fire agencies that are engaged in this process, and the district staff. And so we're about 3 weeks into a 6 to 8 week process, so maybe about halfway through. I know that things are being loaded by all the agencies, as well as the district employees have been loading things. I'm not sure. Cal Fire, I think, has been working on it and has already done some work because of our fire department master plan work that has been done.
So. We had our kickoff meeting on Monday.
So, so that work is commencing. It was a 6 to 8 week timeline, so that takes us into the end of September, middle of October. And I know that AP Triton starts reviewing things as they're available, but really they'll start their full review once all of the documents are uploaded. So.
Does it feel to staff that they're going to be able to meet that requirement?
I think it's everybody's intention to meet that requirement.
Mm-hmm. Anything else to report on that then? That's where we're at. Data gathering at this point. So yes,
can
question
I, with that said, I mean, we did the RFP 5 years ago, as you know, Eric and I were on the committee. I like to see the public involved in this too, also. I personally wanted to see this fire committee also be involved in the annexation. I really was not happy when I saw what happened, because I feel it's just too splintered, and we need to be transparent to everybody, because this is a big deal, especially, I mean, this is a big deal to me, huge big deal, and you all know that. And I really am going to just put it out there. I would like to be a part of this, you know, not only because of my prior, you know, occupation, but my involvement in this community and coming to these meetings for almost 20 years. And I just really would like that to be taken into consideration, that you all think about having myself. I would like to see Bradford, maybe, Vicki, people that are truly showing you that we care about the direction that our public safety is going in.
You want to talk about this?
Again, staying within the scope of the committee.
The meeting, right.
That
it is the ad hoc committee's intention to host public meetings along the way, starting hopefully within the next month.
Right.
The only consideration there is we have another major track in general manager hiring where there's some other meetings having to happen alongside of the regular meetings that already happen. So we're having to pace those out.
There's a capacity issue for our board members, yeah.
However, having said that, we are working on scheduling an update from the ad hoc committee to the public.
Thank you.
And of course, we can only report what we have at that point. AB Triton's report will not be finished. However, like you said, to say, here's what we've done, here's what we have, here are the questions we can answer right now, just so the public has an opportunity to engage. So if nothing else, the four of you show up. Mm-hmm. But we'd like to have more show up. And our intention is to do that along the way as each stage happens, both respecting the privacy of the ad hoc committee and dealing with agencies, but wanting the transparency and engagement with the public. Mm-hmm.
And there's a survey, there's a couple of different conversations about surveys and how that would look like for feedback and things like
survey.
That. Yeah.
A mail-out
yeah.
survey?
I don't think it's a mail. I think it's a online survey. But that said, surveys in the past, we have hand-delivered to, like, some of our seniors that are here and things like that. So we've actually...
But, you know, Jill, I mean, reality, you never get that many people to respond on those online surveys. So
you
it's
know.
Really not getting... You know, I wish I had answers why we can't get the public involved.
Well,
you know, pickleball. That's how we get them involved.
Yeah,
I want to be careful here because this is not an agendized item for discussion. So what I can do is report is that part of the AP Triton
agreement
yeah. is public engagement and involvement with surveys, and there's an opportunity to put in requests for how the survey goes out, how it's engaged with the public, and I think it's fair to say anybody on the board and staff wants as much engagement as possible, recognizing also that every mailing costs $10,000 to $15,000.
Yeah.
So we have to be careful on that end too.
I'd just like to say one more thing. The only thing for me is, and I want you all to realize this, what a big thing this is, because you are going to lose your identity as Cameron Park Fire. You know what I'm saying? I mean, and for me, being, as you all know, very involved in the El Dorado County Fire District consolidation, because it was my chief who started it. Everybody kind of, for me, it was very emotional when the identity of Placerville, the volunteers, were lost, and the other ones. So it's a big deal, and that's why I really like to see you, the communication and open communication.
Right,
For everybody in this community.
That is our intention, and
thank
it's
you.
A schedule plan. And,
okay.
and I will take comments because I have, but I need to make sure I understand this is not a discussion topic. So even stepping outside is abnormal, but I want to respect that we've had some conversations. So feel free to make a brief comment because we have another meeting.
Vicki Campos.
Oh, no, there's no other meeting.
Never mind. It's canceled. Go ahead.
Yeah, Vicki.
Sorry.
But you know, there is a...
So we've got fire personnel that need to get back on the truck.
Yeah,
and the birthday party.
I heard you want to go out. You have something to go to. Just want to encourage the information to come out as soon as you have it available to introduce to the public, because the education process takes a long time. I would like to be actively involved in that. I mean, I'm willing to, you know, go to senior citizen places, I'm willing to go on next door, I'm willing to present the information as accurately as I can out to me, but it takes a long time. I'll post something on next door, and 3 weeks later, I'll get a response. So we just need to be aware of that, that's all.
First of all, as the Fire Camp Parker, the Fire State Council, we will volunteer to get the word out however we can for public engagement with our mailing list and let the public know. Also, I've spoken with the president at Cameron Park Country Club. They're willing to open their doors if you want to have an event there with over 500 members from the community would probably show up. It would be a venue or a place that you're welcome to have a meeting.
So it's me too.
Yeah. I will say that Don Ashton's contract also has a community outreach component to it. So it's not just the survey from AB Triton. There is community outreach is very much on our mind, and we would like to have that, and we'll be just be patient with us. It is coming.
It is coming.
Last last comment I'd like to make is whenever there is public meetings or outreach or whatever, me personally, I'm looking for details. I'm not looking for generalizational comments to protect the ad hoc conversations. I want to hear details. And I know that Jill and I had a conversation at the board meeting that details would be available by the end of the year. Hopefully at the next public meeting that you're speaking to within a month, there will be some details. Granted, you're not going to have all the details, but at least the public can see that you guys are releasing what you can when you can. That's critical.
Yeah. And as we mentioned, there, like I said, there's some that we can say and then some we just won't have access to. The AP Tribe report won't be finished possibly by that meeting. So, and it's worth saying, we also recognize that part of the purpose of this meeting is there's a whole bunch of people out there not like you that don't know. So it's very likely that some of that meeting will be repeat for some of you here, and necessarily so. Like you said, it takes four times of saying the same thing before it gets to people sometimes.
There's plan accompanying. It's a kind of a district overall update. We have a lot of things going on at the district, and so, you know, fire is one element of many. But there will be a handout that goes with that, and then it's for us to meet with the Chamber of Commerce, Fire Safe Council, Rotary, you know, senior groups. I mean, so we are kind of at the community's disposal. We've done this before. We did it with our park improvement plan a few years ago, and we also did it with our strategic plan a few years ago. And so we're well versed in this, and we're kind of good at it. So.
Okay. And as always, we are accessible. Continue to reach out to us, please.
Yeah.
And encourage others to as well. All right. With that, items for future committee agendas. We had mentioned simply bringing the update to us about the CSG. Got it right. CSG.
Yeah.
CSG. CSG. Not the RSG or MRG.
Yeah. Or, right.
OMG. So yes, adding that data report to the next agenda. I think that was the only other piece for future committee agenda.
Yeah.
We have no items to take to the board of directors. We will report out with committee that what's happening with CSG, just so that the board is aware as it matters in the committee reports. Any other matters to and from committee members and staff at this point?
The crack about spreadsheets was not directed at me.
Well taken.
But I am an IT person, you know, so.
Yeah, we're all good. Okay.
Anything else? All right, so with that, do we have a motion for adjourn?
I do move to adjourn.
I second, all in favor.
Aye.
We are adjourning at 6:35 p.m. Thank you, everybody, for being here and your input. We really do value it.